evening. Good to see so many of you back tonight. I know you all came back to see Brother Matt, but that's okay. We pulled the old bait and switch on you. Trying to boost my confidence, what he's doing. He told me that I got to get up here and get better so people start showing up when they put my name in the bulletin. So that's what I'm going to do tonight, try to get better. But no, I'm thankful again for the opportunity tonight. And we're going to be kind of all over the Bible tonight. But tonight I want to talk about walking by faith and not sight. And of course, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Of course, many of you know exactly what it says. And that's kind of our text verse tonight. But we're going to focus on a lot of scripture tonight. And I won't try to keep you long tonight. But, you know, as I was thinking about this this last week, I couldn't help but think about the times we live in and how if there was ever a time in society, it's now that we need to be walking by faith and not by sight. And you know, the more that I look at this and the more that we read newspapers and we watch the news, and things are getting, well, they're just not good. And so tonight, I want to challenge each and every one of you tonight to really examine yourselves and ask yourselves, do you really even know what it means to walk by faith? And if you've never experienced what it might be to walk by faith, I hope tonight in reading these scriptures and talking about this tonight that it might re-enhance your idea and your definition of what it truly means to walk by faith in your life. And if you've never, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then there's a little bit of for you tonight too. Because without Jesus Christ in your life and in your heart, you have nothing to be faithful of but yourself and this world. And as we know, this world, it's getting more rotten by the minute. And so, you know, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, "For whatever was written before was written for our instructions, so that through our endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." And tonight, that's what I want to do. I want to give you hope. I want to give you a reason to strive to live in faith. And you know, in doing so, we're going to see the intricacies of what it means to walk by faith. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says, "Now these things became examples for us so that we will not desire evil as they did." And you know, we as a Christian people and God's people, we don't have a very good track record. If you think about all the way back to the people of Israel, and we think about the wilderness, you know, God continued to pour out His blessings upon these people, and these people continue to turn. They continue to fall short. They continue to whine and bellyache and do some very sad things in the eyes of the Lord. And when we think about those people, I can't help but think about the generation we live in right now, how God continues to bless us. He continues to provide for us. And yet, day by day by day, we continue to struggle. We fall short. Our churches are failing. They're being emptied. No one shows up. You know, we talked about this morning about loving one another and forgiving one another. And yet, we see it more often than not that we don't forgive, we don't forget, we don't love. You know, we don't forgive 70 times 7. You know, we keep score on everything. There's stats, references of everything. Everybody keeps score nowadays. And you know, the good thing about Jesus, as we'll find out, is He doesn't keep record. He doesn't keep score. And we can be thankful for that. But the only way that we can know that and experience that is through faith. And so that's exactly what I want to do tonight. You know, as I was reading in 2 Kings chapter 6, I couldn't help but think about Elijah. And when we talk about walking in faith, I don't think there's many greater examples than the faith that Elijah had. When we think about him and his people and his servants, you know, as they were being prepared, they were surrounded by the armies. And you know, Elijah, he knew exactly who he was praying to. He knew exactly who was on his side. And he didn't have to see it. He knew it. He knew it by God's word. He knew it. And that's the trouble with today, is many of us, if we can't see it, if we can't feel it, if we don't have it, then it's not real. And that's why we struggle so mightily to live and to thrive in today's world, is because we're only as good as us. We're only as good as our next paycheck. We're only as good as what we know as fact. And you know, that's what the Bible's talking about there in Romans, is for whatever was written before was written for our instruction. You see, we have to read God's word. We have to be educated in God's word to know and to be faithful. We have to know it and we have to study it. You know, there in 2 Kings, we know there in verse 16, it says, "For those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." The difference between Elijah and his servants was the difference between faith and sight. And the same thing can be said for us today as we live in a wicked, wicked world. You know, those who are for us way outnumber those who are against us. And you think, well, how can that be? There's evil all over the world. It's because of the one who we have on our side. You know, and so we get to our text verse tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, "For if we walk by faith, not by sight." This statement, of course, is Paul. He's talking about a Christian's future after death. And that's what we all strive to do, is secure our future. Now, if we're honest with ourselves tonight, that's what we spend our whole adult lives doing, is it not? Trying to secure our future. Whether it be, you know, we go to school, we go to college, we get an education, it's all for future, right? We get a job, that's so we can secure our future. We start a retirement fund, right? So we can secure our future. It's all about earthly things. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight that there's only one way in which you can secure your future, and it's through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And so, you know, being assured of that, now we can have assurance to walk securely, you know, through the problems and difficulties of this life. And you know, we all have difficulties, we all have problems. And I'm going to hopefully inspire you and tell you tonight exactly how to navigate those things. And of course, first thing we need to define a few terms. And so when the Bible talks about we must walk by faith, that's God's people. That's you and I tonight. All right, we're we. We're the people, Christians, all right? That's us. That's our church. We make up God's faithful people. And then the most important part of this is the walk. And to define walk is to pursue a course of action or way of life, how one moves along during the course of his life. And so I want to slow down just a minute. I want to encourage you, as I am talking to you tonight, to truly examine what it is that your walk is, and how has your walk been up to this point. You see, many of us, we have to keep accurate records. We have to understand what it is to walk in Jesus Christ. And so many of us tonight, we're either excited. You know, we talk about our walk. We can either say, well, I think I've done pretty good. And some of us tonight may be sitting here and we may realize that, no, I could be much, much better. Or maybe for some of you tonight, you've never experienced Jesus Christ. And so for you, your walk has been nothing short of a disappointment to this point. And so moving ahead, we can change our walk. And I'm going to tell you how tonight. I'm going to explain to you exactly how we can improve upon our walk. And that is our course of action. That's our way of life. You know, faith. We have the word faith, walking by faith. And that's simply believing and trusting in God. You see, many of us tonight, we believe and we trust in too many other things. We put our faith and our trust in what we have in our bank accounts, what we own, you know, the people we know. It's all about who you know and what you know. But I tell you tonight, there's only room for one, and that's Jesus. And then we talk about sight, and we talk about not by sight. Of course, that's simply trusting in oneself. And all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we pretend that we don't do that. But really and honestly, we do. We do it way too much. We do. We strive. Or our walk is so short-sighted. It's because we put all of our faith, all of our trust, many days in what we can do and how we can do it. And so tonight I want to encourage you and challenge you tonight to ask yourself, what does your walk look like and what does it involve? And only you can answer this. But the first thing that comes to mind when I thought about walking by faith, of course, it involves a change in oneself. And you know, if you would, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Get over there myself. But there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You know, God, Paul here, he's challenged us to come out from among them, to be ye separate. And you know, we talk all the time, I tell my kids all the time that that we ought to be a peculiar people, that we ought to be different. And so we're challenged. God, Paul, he's challenged us here to come out from among you. But see, that's the problem with today's people. We don't want to come out from among you. We like where we're at. We like where we're living. We like the friends and the people that we mingle and hang out with. We like sin. We like exactly where we're at. We like exactly the way we feel and the way that it makes us feel, the feelings that we get. You know, when faith comes along and involves a change, it involves being a new creature, and it involves passing away of old things and a look of new things. You know, we must be converted. And that's exactly what this is a conversion, becoming a Christian and obeying the gospel. Faith involves change. And you know, many of us, we don't like change, do we? We like to stay exactly where we are. We like our routines. We like the life that we've built for ourselves. It's just the way we want it. It's either slow paced or it doesn't involve too much effort. You know, I think when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about change and the reason that many people don't change and the reason that many people don't tend to walk by faith, it is because we're lazy people. It requires effort. It requires effort to walk by faith. And many of us, we're not ready and willing to put forth the effort to do that because it's going to cost us something. And we know this. You know, the thing is we have to be a new person on the inside. And the reason that we have to be all new on the inside is because the inside controls the outside. And so, you know, many of us, we talk about conversion, and many of us, we've been converted or so-called converted for many, many years. And we've merely talk about turning over a new leaf. But see, it's much deeper than that. It's much more than turning over a new leaf. It's a new life under a new master. And you see, when you're converted and when you turn over a new leaf and you've decided that you're going to walk by faith, you see, you're not the master anymore. You're not the head of anything. You're just merely a servant. You're just merely a worker in God's army. And many of us, we're not prepared. We're not equipped to forfeit those rights. You see, we like to be in charge. That's the way the American people are today. We like to be in charge of everything. We don't like anybody to tell us what to do. You know, we don't. And so to walk by faith and to see a conversion, we must first start with the heart. The heart must be changed from the love of sin to the love of Jesus. You see, right there, that's going to separate many of us from walking by faith. It's because our heart is not there. It's not where it should be. You see, honestly, many of us tonight, we love sin just as much as we love Jesus. You understand that tonight? if we're honest with ourselves, if we're true in our reflections of our lives. And you know, the thing is it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see those of us who love sin just as much as we love Jesus. Because, you know, the Bible tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. And yet many of us, we find that extremely difficult to do, to abstain from all appearance of evil. Matter of fact, in many of our lives, it doesn't bother us one bit to be looked upon as sinful or to be falling short. You know, many of us, it doesn't even touch our lives. It doesn't even affect anything that we do. And so once the heart has been changed, then of course comes our life, our conduct. A person must be changed from sin to righteousness. We must strive to find that in our lives. We must be ready to put down sin and pick up the righteousness of Jesus. You have to be prepared to do this. You see, walking by faith is not easy. No one's ever said that it would be. You see, that's the problem with many of us. We make public professions of faith, and that's all it is. It's just talk. And of course, we know that talk is cheap. And so once our heart has been changed, and once our conduct has been changed from the love of sin to that of righteousness, then we have to look at our state, our relationship. A man must be changed from the realm of Satan's rule to the realm of God's kingdom. You see, we must have a relationship, and one that's not 50-50. You see, our relationship with Christ has to be the most important relationship of our life. That's before our wives. That's before our husbands. That's before our kids. That's before our grandparents. That's before anything and everything that's in your life. You understand me tonight? You can put no other person before Christ. You see, but that's the trouble. Many of us, we pick and choose. We pick and choose when and where we're going to love Christ. And so you ask me tonight, we must know, how is this done? Of course, obviously it's through obeying the gospel. And we know simply that we must hear the gospel. And of course, by hearing the gospel brings faith. Believing, hearing, believing, and then repenting. Turning away from our sins. We must confess and then, of course, follow the Lord through the waters of baptism. You know, Romans 10 and 17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. To obtain faith, we must hear God's word. We must believe it. We must accept it. You see, those are challenging things to many of us. We hear a lot of things. We believe a lot of things. And the problem is that we accept too many things in our lives. We accept outside rule and influence. We allow others to dictate when and where we're going to serve and love the Lord. It's not up for discussion. It's not up for discussion. And so walking by faith involves knowing, it involves believing, and then, of course, it involves obeying the right things. You see, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. And I think that's the problem with today's world. That's the problem with today's society, is we want it our way. We want it our way all the time. And if there's any other time or if there's any other avenues of serving, then we'll do that if we have any spare time or any extra moments. See, the problem is we're not dedicated. We're not sold out. We're not all in for Jesus. We're all in for gratification and self-worth. We're always looking to put ourselves above others and above the Lord. You see, the problem is that the path that seems right may offer many options and require few sacrifices. I thought that was very fitting. The path that seems right, let that soak in for a minute. The path that seems right may offer many options and require few sacrifices. You see, Satan's path, this world's path, it's always going to seem right. It's always going to seem easiest because there's no sacrifice. There's no sacrifice. We get up, and we serve the almighty dollar. We serve the God of this world. You see, in anything that we do, we ought to understand that easy choices should make us take a second look. It ought to make us fall on our knees and ask God to point us in the right direction. You see, the right choice often requires hard work and self-sacrifice. You see, the problem with Jesus, the problem with walking by faith, is there's no shortcuts. There's no easy way to serve Jesus. It's hard. We go back to Romans 15 and 4, and it talks about aforetime. You see, the reason that we should guide our lives after Scripture and the examples that are in Scripture is because of the examples that those people set before us. You see that it was a struggle. It was hard on them. They gave their lives. They sacrificed much for Jesus. And you know, we talk about persecution. We talk about strife and struggle. We have none of that today. The trouble is the things that we feel like that we sacrifice for Jesus is so minimal. We don't give of our time. We don't give of our money. We don't give of our effort. And when we do, we want to be patted on the back. We want a trophy. We want somebody to say good things about us when we do that. We don't have to give much. We don't have to give much. Faith requires much. Faith requires dedication and perseverance. You see, we have to obey the right book, and we have to obey the right doctrine. You know, in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, it says, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." You see, that's the problem again. We see so many different denominations. We see so many churches today, TV evangelists. They tickle our ears. They tell us what we want to hear. They tell us of an easy way. Just give us some money. Just donate. And you'll be blessed. Just give to the cause. You know, that's the trouble today. Many of us, we want to give of our abundance. And we want to lay up and get fat and happy. You know, many of us, we think of different ways to give. And it very seldom comes of our time and of our effort. It's always we give out of abundance. That's the struggle. That's the problem with Christians today. We think of the widow and her two mites. She gave all she had. You see, today we give when we have extra. We give of our time when we have extra. We come to church when we have time. You see, we plan our weeks and our months. We plan church around it instead of planning our weeks and our schedules around church. You see, walking by faith requires dedication. You know, over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Scripture said that. Wow, how he hit it right on the head some 2,000 years ago. You know, 2 John chapter 9 says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Who do you have tonight? You know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed." How many of you stand up for the doctrine? How many of you stand up for the faith of Jesus Christ? How many of us point out those things to our brothers and sisters in Christ? No, we wouldn't dare step on anyone's toes. We wouldn't want to offend anyone. We wouldn't want someone not to like us. You see, that's the problem with today. We just continue to let our families, our friends, we just continue to let them move right along in sin. We just continue to let them go. And as long as it's not too bad, as long as they don't affect me much, well, it's just the way it is, right? No. There's only one way to worship. There's the right way. See, that's the problem with today. Many of us are walking by our own doctrine. We're walking by our own ways. We walk in our own sight. We walk in our own lusts, in our own power. But you see, to walk by faith, it involves maintaining focus. We have to have sheer and precise focus on the prize at hand. We have to have focus on the cross and the cross alone. And without focus, there is no faith. You know, we read Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 and 23. And of course, we know the story. We know Peter. So as long as he was focused on Jesus, he was successfully walking on the waters of the Sea of Galilee, wasn't he? As long as he kept his eye on the prize, as long as he kept his focus on Jesus, he walked on water. And you know that I'm not telling you tonight that you're going to walk on water, but what I am telling you tonight is if you never take your eyes off Jesus, you'll navigate this world in ways that you've never navigated it. You'll see things that you've never seen before. You'll be blessed the way that you've never been blessed before. But you see, the instant you take your focus off of Jesus Christ, just like Peter, the winds and the waves, they start to batter you. They start to beat on you. They start to knock you down. And you start to sink. And the reason I tell you that tonight is because I've experienced it in my own life. The very second you think you've got it all figured out and you try to go it alone and do it on your own, you feel every bump, you feel every cut, you feel every gut punch, you feel every short paycheck, you feel every broke down car, every flat tire. It seems like there's one every week. But if you stay focused on Jesus, those things, when they do happen, you just carry on. You just take it and you move on. You know, if we focus, of course, on the waves of the difficult circumstances around us and take our eyes off the one whom we serve, we will despair and we will sink. We have to focus on the power of God. See, when we're focusing on the power of God, we don't have time to realize our own inadequacies. We don't have time to realize that we can't make it. There's no way. You see, because when we lose focus on Christ, we start looking at our checks and our balances. We start looking at our pocketbooks. We start looking at all the things. We see the shingles hanging off the roof. We see the cracked window. We see our jobs and how they don't pay enough and how we're overworked. We see everything for what it is. It's not good enough. But you see, when we stay focused on Jesus, we realize that He's everything and we have all that we need. You see, you understand that tonight? Walking by faith requires focus and dedication, and you don't have time for all those other things. And you know, I know that although we start out with great intentions, our faith falters from time to time. But see, the thing is that doesn't mean we failed. I go back to Peter. We see Peter's faith. It faltered. But then he focused. He regained his focus. Then he reached out to the only one who could help him. You see, like many of us, Peter could have turned around. He could have reached back for the boat. But he would have drowned. He wouldn't have made it. It was too late. You know, we know that Peter was afraid, just like many of us. We're afraid. We're afraid of what tomorrow might bring. We're afraid what the rest of this day might bring. But in Jesus, we have nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be scared of. See, the trouble is when we grow in apprehension about our troubles, we start to doubt. We start to doubt our ability to even get through them. You see, tonight I want us to focus on Jesus. I want us to never take our eyes off of Jesus. Never take your eyes off the Bible. Don't take your eyes off the gospel. Don't take your eyes off this church and all who are in it. Don't take your eyes off your worship. Don't take your eyes off your faithfulness. Because the second you do, the devil will lead you astray. You see, tonight, I don't want you to take your eyes off the truth. You see, because in John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, the truth will set you free. Tonight, I don't want you to take your eyes off of heaven. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't take your eyes off heaven. It's the finish line. It's the end of the race. You see, tonight, I don't want you to lose your focus. See, tonight, I want you to keep your focus on the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. See, tonight, Christian, I don't want you to lose your focus. I know the winds and the waves of this world, they have us divided, they have us distracted, they have us confused. And the reason that is because we try to pick and choose when we walk by faith and when we walk by sight. You see, you can't pick and you can't choose tonight. You have to be all in. You have to sell out for Jesus. You have to look at the examples that have been set before us. You know, you wonder why we, you know, I couldn't help but think about Brother Bob tonight as I was preparing for this, thinking about the example that he set before us. And I have no doubt throughout his life, he never wavered, not one bit. He knew who secured him. You know, he's told me of times when things got pretty rough, but you'd have never known it. He was focused. He was sold out. He was all in. We're going to have our discouragements. We're going to have our disappointments. But we have to stay focused on the Father. You see, tonight, walking by faith, it involves change. Are you ready to change? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to allow your heart to be softened and pierced? Are you prepared to believe and to follow the right things? You see, many of us, we follow a lot of things. We follow a lot of fads, whatever's the latest, whatever's the greatest. See, Jesus is timeless. We have to follow Him. And then last but not least, we have to maintain our focus. You know, as our musicians come and as we prepare to close tonight, I have a question for you. Are you walking by faith? You see, faith honors God, and God honors faith. You understand that? You know, I read a story of a house was burning down, and the father, he couldn't get upstairs. He knew his son was upstairs, but the flames, they were just too intense. He couldn't get up there. So he ran out the house, and he got out in the front yard, And he looked up and he could see his son at the window. He could see the flames behind him. And his son, he raised the window up. He was screaming, "Daddy, Daddy, save me. It's hot in here." His daddy said, "Jump, son. I'll catch you." But you see, the problem was, is the smoke, it was getting so smoky in there. The son, he couldn't see his dad down there anymore. The flames were piling in around him, and the smoke was getting so deep. He couldn't see his dad, but he could hear his voice. Tell him to jump, son. I've got you. You see, tonight, many of us, we only want what we can see. But you see, there's the Heavenly Father there. We can't see him, but he's there. And he's telling each and every one of us tonight to just jump. Just jump into my arms, and I'll carry you through. If you've already been saved, he's got you. He'll lead you through. And if you've never known him tonight, he's telling you tonight, jump into my arms, and I'll save you. The answer, the question is, will you jump? Will you jump? Are you walking by faith tonight? Let's stand. What number shall we sing, Brother Darren? 243. Walking by faith or by sight, you have to make that decision.